the understanding and interpretation of the last three chapters of the book of Daniel have always been a challenge to the church, particularly the interpretation of the central prophetic content of Daniel 11:2-12:3, referring to the mysterious kings of the north and the south, has been obscure. It has been either studied superficially or totally ignored in Adventist literature. The last 7 years has been a change toward this prophecy. And in the last years, we can find more readings and books about this special section of the book of Daniel. The present study recognizes the basic importance of the grammatical and syntactical work in the exegetical enterprise. Furthermore, it demonstrates that structural analysis provides a better comprehension of the passage and the flow of thoughts contained in it. Based on these 9 principles and basic concepts, understanding of Daniel 10-12 are proposed. It is hoped that this principle will facilitate a more complete appreciation of this important prophetic section. The first principle. One of the prophetic principles that our pioneers taught was known as parallelism. Daniel 2, 7 and 8 show the same period in history and add new elements to the message of the book. Each chapter helped to interpret the others. With this idea, we can see the following chart that show the basic sections in each prophecy. As you can see, there are the same structure: a prologue, prophecy in itself, an explanation and station of the comprehension of the prophecy, and the epilogue. And we can see in this chart that there are the same structure in the chapters 10-12. We can see that the format of each prophecy is similar, and we can note that in Daniel 10-12 there is the same structure. Therefore, we can hope to find the same interpretation for the 4 prophetic lines in Daniel. The content of the prophetic lines are similar. Here are the symbols and their interpretation of the first 3 prophetic lines of the book. After, why we are going to add the 4th line. And you can see this principle, the enlargement and add new elements in the prophecy. For example, you can see that there are a new element in the chapter 7. New elements. The little horn and the judgment scene. We notice that there are 4 world empires as a frame of the prophecies, and we find that the next prophetic line adds and enlarges the previous. Then we will hope to find the same kingdoms and events in Daniel 11, as well as new historic and prophetic elements. Some scholars have done a parallelism between the chapters 7, 8 and 11. This parallelism will be useful to do a closer correspondence between these sections of the book of Daniel. And you can see there are the same expressions and in the same order in the 3 last prophetic lines in Daniel. Daniel 7, Daniel 8 and Daniel 11. You can see there are the similar and in the same order. This is important then for interpret the chapter 11. The Greek kingdoms, the pagan Rome, the papal Rome, and the expressions are in the same order in all the the prophecies. We can see the parallelism of these prophetic likes in Daniel. Each empire has his correspondence in the other chapters, and we notice that each kingdom and the main events are in the same order. We note that exists connection between the four prophetic lines, and there is a clear parallelism between them. Now, with this idea, we are going to talk about the structure of chapter 11. And this is the second principle, structuralism. As any literary text, Daniel 11 has unities of thinking, of a logical sequences in the development of the ideas. This work is important because it reveals the different sections of a reading based in the grammatical and syntactical world. I don't have time in this moment, but I wrote a structure and was published in a book in Brazil. I show you the main structure of the chapter. Many commentators agree with this division of the chapters. You can see any book of Daniel. Although they don't present in this way, we can see a double chiasm with paragraphs that show important elements for the interpretation of the prophecy. For example, you can see I find that the term world in verse 11, for me is important because they mark a change in the prophecy, and we find a new character in the verse 21. Therefore, based upon these two elements, parallelism and structuralism, a proposal of interpretation of Daniel 11:2-12:3 must be in this way. And as you can see, I agree with Dr. Gaining in many things. Could be in some details where a little disagreement. Parallelism then at this moment is suitable to have a panorama of the prophecies of Daniel. We can see the unity of them, and we can appreciate the new elements that the chapter 11 gives to the message of the book. We can see that there are the same elements and the same order in the chapter 10, especially chapter 11. The first principle is very important. There are words or sentences that are signs in the interpretation of the prophecy. These expressions are guidelines to understand the prophecy. They serve as marks in the way of interpretation that help us to understand the many words, events, and characters. We can divide, as we see before, the prophecy in two great sections. Remember, we told that that the verse 20 is very important. It alludes indirectly to the birth of Jesus. Therefore, the first two verses talk about the pre-Christian era, and the following ones present the Christian era. We are going to see that the use of some Hebrew expressions appear in the prophecy according to this division. You can see that there are only two special expressions in the first 20 verses. But there are expressions found in both sections. And you can see both of those expressions that your people, the king of the north, the south, and the king of the north, fortress, the precious treasures of Egypt, the glorious land. But this is the main characters of the chapter. Then it's logical to find them in all the book. And another question is the last one, do according to his will. This expression is for example, is interesting because it applies to Greece in verse 3, to Rome in verse 16, and again in the to the contemptible or vile person of the verse 21. Another detail is the use of expressions related to temporal events. We find 7 different expressions that appear 11 times in the prophecy. These phrases play an important role in the structuralism of the prophecy, and we cannot see these terms in the structure. But there are important and repeat the element of temporal events, and I find this is a mark in a sign in the interpretation. And you can note the last one, the use of the term "kets," that refers to the eschatological time. In the same way, there are 11 mentions of failures, disasters, defeats in the chapter 11. This prophecy talks about wars and fights. And in this verse we can find some of these failures. This prophecy talks about wars and fights, therefore there are allusions to defeats. These mentions are signs in the interpretation of the chapter. In the second session, there are only 3 references of failure. It's very interesting, the only 3 mentions of failure in the second part of the prophecy. Both expressions, temporals and relate to failures, mark important events of the prophecy and in the structure of the reading. For example, there are 2 special mentions of failure. The first of one is of them is 11:33 to 35, the people of God, again in a triple fall before the contemptible person. And as you note, in the second part, there are 3 special falls. The first one is the king of the soul in the triple fall before the Baal person. Then the last, in the eschatological section, 11:40 to 45, with a significant expression of time, and it concludes with the most important fall of all prophecy, the failure of the false king of the north. There are some, as you see in this at the screen, you can see that there are some expressions that only found in the second section, related with the contemptible person, the priest of covenant, the holy covenant, the abomination, a time, a point. At the time, that refers to the 1260 days, his fathers, by flatteries, God and gods, and the East. This question is special for this section, and it's marked, and it reveals us that this is a special section of the book, of this prophecy. There are some Hebrew verbs that repeat many times, and their meanings are important in the interpretation. The first one that I find is Amad. In Hebrew, stand up. It appears 28 times, 20 of them in the prophetic section. In the prologue and in the last section, Amad means stand up. But the use in the prophetic section is equivalent to reign, to dominate. Sometimes it means to resist, but its main meaning is to reign. Persians, Greece, the king of the south, the king of the north, and the contemptible. The last mention refers to Michael, who stands over the sons of your people in order to establish their kingdom and reign forever. You can see that this verb is special in the prophecy. Another verb is the verb bo in Hebrew. It appears 25 times in the last three chapters and 19 times in the prophetic discourse. Its main meaning is to conquer. In that way, it's used about the veil. There are two special relations with the contemptible of the verse 21. In this verse, it appears will be with the verbs Amad and Hazak, the only time in all the prophecy. And B, the verse 41 talk about he shall enter the glorious land. For example, a commentator interpret it that is a peaceful, this verse 41, that is a peaceful friendship between the papal power and the United States in the last days. At the last we have studied the king of the north come to conquer the glorious land in an impositive wave, no a peaceful wave. Another expression is shub, return, go back, move backward. It appears 9 times in the prophetic section. It means to return victoriously of the war to his home or to repeat an attack to the enemy. And the last one is Asak. It appears 13 times in the last chapters of the book. 8 of them appear in the chapter 11. It has the connotation of strengthening economical and politically. It refers to the people who know his God. This verse is very important to understand, and then we can interpret it better this prophetic discourse in chapter 11. Another principles are the next ones. The fourth principle, Daniel leaves gradually the apocalyptic symbolism toward a more literal interpretation. There is no vision of apocalyptic beasts in Daniel 11. It is an angelic discourse to the prophet. It used the figures of kings and wars with the Near East as a background. The task of the interpreter is to understand these symbols. The fifth principle, the prophecies in Daniel culminate in the last events and in the kingdom of glory. All the four prophetic lines in Daniel culminate in the coming and establishment of the kingdom of God. The fact is a powerful guide in the work of the interpretation. The prophecy cannot end with Antiochus' four epiphanies, neither other human being. This idea led us to the next principle. The prophecies of Daniel are focused more in the Christian age than in the Old Testament times. The biblical times reach until the verse 20. We saw from verse 21 we find the papal Rome. As the other prophetic lines, Daniel 11 is focused in the great controversy throughout the Christian age. The seventh principle, when the prophecy comes near to the Christian age, the geographic elements take a universal meaning. This principle is fundamental for the interpretation of Danielic prophecies. The cardinal reference as a north, south, east, the geographic places that is mentioned in the prophecy, Kittim, the glorious land, Edom, Moab, Egypt, Ethiopia, and Libya, and the ethnic reference as the prominent people of Ammon and the sons of your people cannot be interpreted in allusion of the biblical Palestine. This must understand as symbolic entities in the prophecy. The air principle, the scripture is own interpreter. The meanings of the symbols must be seek in the Bible and not in another place. This is related with the last one principle. We have to interpret it as the light of the scriptures, not in our manner. In a new relation with the last hermeneutical principle about the symbols and elements in Daniel 11, we must interpret them at the light of the scripture. We cannot explain them stubbornly. For example, the concept of north in this prophecy cannot interpret Assyria, Russia, or any other political power in our times. It must be explained by the Bible. The north is the cardinal point where the scriptures set God. From this place come the heavenly judgments, like in Ezekiel and Isaiah. Also, the Son of the Morning wants to sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north, who in this prophecy is represented by Babylon. We can understand that the new king of north in Daniel 11, 21 to 45, the veiled person is led by Satan and he tried to worship as a new god. And the last principle, the unity of both testaments. They complement each other. As a Christian, we believe in the unity of the Bible. We have to read Daniel 11 and 12 at the light of the New Testament, especially Revelation. There are symbols as Egypt, East, and the Holy Mountain that had a parallelism in Revelation. A conclusion for this presentation. God gave us His Word, and a part of His Word is Daniel 10-12. He gave us intelligence and abilities. It is our task to interpret this important prophecy of the Bible with humility, prayer, and dedication. The principles have been given. Let's work with this prophecy. Thank you.